Well, I'm not talking about Palm Sunday today. I have another message. And I guess I could give it a couple titles. One would be doubting your salvation, or maybe I could start with this question. Have you ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever doubted your salvation? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for laying this on my heart. You know I was pondering something about Palm Sunday, but you just kept coming back with this. So I want to try to be obedient, Lord, and I'm just going to share what I think should be shared today. Thank you for the offering today. Without your blessing, it won't go as far as it needs to go, but with it, it'll go much further than we'd ever think. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The scriptures I'll be using as the key text will be Galatians chapter 5 will be the key text if you'd like to go there. I think it's page 1213 if you're using the Bible in the pew. It's 1213. Have you ever doubted your salvation? I don't want you to put your hand out. But I can tell you, if you have, you're not alone. When I was a young man, I was never certain about my standing with Christ. I believed any unconfessed sin could cost me my eternity with God and those that I love. I can tell you, growing up in my church, I struggled with this because it wasn't made clear, not clear enough, that I could be sure about my salvation. And I think everyone in here needs to be sure of that. I won't mention the dear lady's name, but she's in heaven now. But when I visited her before she passed, she said, I wanted to tell you this, Brother Roger, before I started coming to your church, she said, I was afraid to die. I was afraid to die. Because, he said, I didn't know if I'd go to heaven for sure. I never forgot that. I thought, you know what? She's not alone. There are many other people. Think about that. I constantly found myself repenting whenever I sinned. You see, I was confused. I thought that every time I sinned, I run a risk of losing salvation. That couldn't be further from the truth. Listen, folks, when you get saved, Jesus loves you and he forgives you of your past sins, your present sins, and yes, your future sins. Now, why do you have such a problem with future sins? You can trust him to forgive your past. Why do you have so much trouble asking him to forgive your future? What's the problem with that? Hello? Are you with me? Wave at me if you're still with me. You see, God knows exactly the things that you struggle with. He knows that. And you also know things in your children's lives that they struggle with. Does that make you love them any less because they struggle with that? Do you love them any less? Of course you don't. You love them, and always love them. You'll always love them. No matter what they do, you always will love them. No matter the mistakes they make, no matter the wrong choices they make, you're always going to love them. And God's the same way. He's the same way. I repented lots of times, and I would run to the altar every time the altar was open. And you know what I suffered from? I never had peace of mind, nor did I have confidence of heaven. That's a harsh reality. And I hope you don't suffer from that, because neither one of you should suffer from that. You should know. I know and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Make sure you commit it unto him, folks. Commit it unto him. I know and I am persuaded he's able to keep. Paul said, that which I committed to him. Commit it to him. And you'll also know and you'll also be persuaded. I lived under a heavy yoke of slavery to legalism. You know what legalism is, don't you? That's man's ideas. That's man's thoughts. That's man's tradition. That's man's rules. That's man's ideas of rules. That's tradition. Because with God, you have freedom. Until I finally was set free by the truth of God's word. Many Christians today struggle with uncertainty about their eternal home. Sometimes it's because they've been taught that they can lose their salvation. Or maybe they're convinced that their sins prove that they aren't really saved. Now listen to this. After you're saved, you'll still commit sins. And the devil will use that to say, you're really not saved. But don't you believe that lie. Don't you believe it. Because when he says it, say, I know I'm a misfit. I know that. But guess what? God loves me anyway. Ha, ha, ha. God loves me anyway. And devil, you're the biggest misfit. Don't you accuse me of being one. You're the biggest misfit. Whatever the reason, there isn't nothing quite unsettling as having doubts about your eternal home. How many of you have loved ones there? They've gone on. They're in heaven. How many of you want to see them again? Amen. Don't you let the devil think that you're not going to heaven. Amen. I want to give you reasons. I want to show you in Scripture so you can have confidence and assurance that you can have assurance about your eternal home. I want you to know that living as slaves to legalistic expectations isn't what God has intended for any of you. God, Christ has set us free. The salvation is based on God's grace. And all, and let me say, all that is required of us is faith in his Son, Galatians 5:1. Of course, in the apostolic church, they added one more thing to that. You have to speak in tongues to be saved. As evidenced by speaking in tongues, Lawrence Smell and Scotty, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I want to tell you something about that. I know some people that aren't even in church today because they were told that, and they couldn't speak in tongues, so they think they're not saved, and they're not in church today because of it. Whose blood do we want to put that on whose hands? The pastor's hands that told them such stuff. Are you with me? Still with me? Wave at me. That's sad. It's so sad. Don't let anyone tell you that you need to obey certain rules in order to be saved or to stay saved. The Lord has given us plenty of assurance of our salvation in his word, and you can't lose it, as Petey says, like a sock in the wash. God's the one who holds you. If it were up to us to keep our salvation, we'd all lose it. But Jesus said, listen to what he said. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. John chapter 10, 27 and 28. Eternal security is the work of the Lord. He guarantees that his gift of salvation, once received by faith, is possessed forever and can never be lost. No one, including us, can condemn us because through Christ's death and resurrection, God has justified us freely, we sang, forever. Isn't that what we sang? Freely, forever, He has justified us, and you can find that in Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. So with all these promises of eternal salvation, why do some Christians still doubt? I'm getting there. One of the reasons is that there are a few verses in the scriptures that seem to imply that it's possible to lose one's salvation. There's where the problem lies. Now, I'm going to give you two terms that maybe you're not familiar with. Arminianism and Calvinism. These are two groups. Calvinists believe that once you have salvation, you never lose it. And I'm over here with the Calvinists, I'm sorry, but I'm over here with them. Then you have the Arminians that believe that you can lose your salvation like a sock in the wash, but I'm not over here. I'm over here on this side. And I'm going to give you scripture so you can decide which side you want to be on. Okay? That's what we're talking about today, so you can know. There are some scriptures, and if you just read them by themselves, they will imply that you could possibly lose your salvation. And this is where this happens. This is why there's Arminius and Calvinists. That's why there is. So I want to deal with these scriptures. I want to talk about these scriptures, whereby if you read them and if you just read the scripture and you don't read the text, or maybe you should read not only just before and after, but read the whole book before you make a decision. Too many people pull a scripture out and read the scripture. Oh, there it is. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Read before, read after, and then read the whole book. Then you'll get an understanding of what that scripture is saying, okay? Because it can be easily misinterpreted when you pull scriptures out of text and just read the scripture. That's why you should always read what comes before and after, because you see, God's word never contradicts itself. Are you listening to me? His word doesn't contradict itself. Only people who find contradictions are those who spend 5 minutes in his word. They find all kinds of contradictions. It doesn't surprise me. Spend a lifetime in it and you won't find any. You show me a Bible that's falling apart, I'll show you a life that's not falling apart. Amen? Amen. Some of the verses are used to support that you can lose your salvation. And they're here in the book of Galatians. So that's where we're going now. You're going to find, or you go with me to Galatians. Are you there yet? I didn't get there yet. I got to get there. Galatians. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. By the way, Paul wrote this letter to a group of churches, by the way, that were believers. They had been infiltrated by false teachers who claimed faith in Christ. They claimed that faith in Jesus was insufficient for salvation. They said obedience to the Old Testament law was required, mainly circumcision is what they were referencing. But there were a lot of other things besides circumcision. But circumcision was the big one. Paul was very concerned that the believers were being deceived, so he gave them some stern warnings. His first warning, you can find in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, I want you to take notice that even though Paul said they were deserting the Lord by believing lies, he still identified them as believers. He referred to them as brethren. You don't call unbelievers brethren, but he called them brethren in there. You still with me? Wave if you're with me. That's the text. He called them brethren. They're still believers. Even though they were deserting the Lord by believing these lies, he still identified them as believers who have been called by the grace of God. Being temporarily deceived doesn't cancel your salvation. Number two, you'll find the second warning in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. You see, the false teachers were saying that being circumcised earned favor with God. But Paul pointed out that for those in Christ, such ceremonial obedience profited them nothing. Adding legalism to your faith won't help you, since it's actually harmful to your spiritual life. Third, the third warning is in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law, by adding works to grace. The false teachers nullified Christ's sacrifice on the cross, declaring it to be insufficient. It proved their faith wasn't genuine and their false teaching was hindering the true believers from living by faith. It is by faith, nothing else. Nothing else added. It is by faith alone. By faith alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by faith and faith alone. Finally, fourthly, Paul warned that you have fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. I've often heard worried Christians tell me that because of their sins after they got saved, because of their sins, they felt that they were fallen from grace. But that is not what Paul is saying. Grace is the means by which God saves repentant sinners. To fall from grace isn't the loss of salvation, or even to fall into a particular sin, but it's a descent into the enslavement of trying to earn your salvation. None of us can earn our salvation. The Bible says it's a gift of God. You're listening to me? It's a gift that God has given you. It's a gift. You don't earn it. He gives it to you. But Pastor, how am I justified? I'm justified in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. When you get saved, that doesn't mean that when you get saved, you're not going to commit any more sins. It doesn't mean that when you get saved, you're going to be a perfect Christian. Boy, how many of you could raise your hand that you're a perfect Christian? None of us are perfect. Even after we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, we're not perfect, but we are perfect in Him. You see, when God looks at us, He looks at Jesus. Do you know what He sees in Jesus? A perfect sacrifice. And in Jesus, you and I are perfect today. So when the devil comes along and tries to tell you you're not so perfect, say, you're right, I'm not, but I am in Jesus. Jesus is perfect, and I'm perfect in Him. How many of you understand that now? I hope you have a better understanding of that today. Because I didn't have that kind of understanding. I was worried about my salvation. Pretty much all my young life, I was worried. I can tell you that I'm not worried anymore. I ain't worried anymore. Listen, when this fellow draws his last breath, don't you cry for me. Because for me, sudden death will be sudden glory. Are you listening to me? Sudden death will be sudden glory for me. And I know that beyond any shadow of doubt. And now you know it. Now you know it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor Roger, that was for me today. I needed to hear that. Slip your hand up. That was for me. I needed to hear that. Hands going up everywhere. Wow. Wow, now I know why I had to share it. They're still going up. That's wonderful. You can put them down. Now I want you to stand with me because I'm going to pray with you. I'm so glad I was able to share that today. Because I didn't always believe that. I didn't always believe that. I didn't believe always what I shared today. But I do today. And I'm so thankful I was able to share it with you today. Father in heaven, what a joy and what a blessing it's been today to share this wonderful message that these people don't need to worry about the future. They don't need to worry about their home in heaven. They don't need to be worried about when we sin that I lost my salvation. Lord, you know how often I've made mistakes and how often I've sinned, and I've had to confess it to you. And you know there'll probably be some more days like that, and I don't want them to be, but it is what it is. So, Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful that I have this assurance today. And I'm glad that I was able to share this message with these your people today. There were so many that raised their hands, and they needed to have that assurance. So, Father, I pray right now, Lord, that when the devil comes to try to shake them of their salvation, they'll be able to say, I am perfect through Jesus. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my righteousness. He's my righteousness. I don't have any of my own. So thank you, Lord, for this precious truth today. Thank you for every one of these dear saints today that were able to hear this message. And maybe perhaps there'll be those that are hearing this on Facebook or however way you hear this message. I pray for you too. I'm grateful and thankful that you tuned in on this message. And this message perhaps was for you too. And you needed to know that you can be assured of knowing that you have a home in heaven. And when you draw your last breath, you don't need to be afraid to die. Thank you for this wonderful truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.